The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Oh, man, was it a busy day up at Halas Hall. Hi, everyone. Zach Zidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. A lot to discuss. We'll begin with the moves that the Bears made today, releasing the veteran receiver Eddie Royal alongside three other backup players, the defensive lineman Will Sutton, offensive lineman Cornelius Edison, and the fullback Paul Asike. And while they say goodbye to the past, the future being welcomed in as well. The rookies meeting as we speak up at Halas Hall. Two have been signed to contracts. The draft picks, Tariq Cohen, the running back out of North Carolina A&T, and the offensive lineman from Kutztown in Pennsylvania, Jordan Morgan, also agreeing to terms with the Bears. Tomorrow, rookie minicamp begins. 3 days of practices up at Halas Hall. So let's get the breakdown. We'll start with Tom. What do you make of the moves that the Bears made today overall?
Well, I mean, they're all realistic moves. I mean, Eddie Royal, it's about availability. You got to be out there every day. He's had injury problems the last couple of years that kept him off the field the majority of the time. And I just think when you look at the future of the Bears, you need to, you know, player development. You need some guys to step up to the plate and make sure they're there for Mike Glennon and the rest of the quarterbacks on an everyday process. Cornelius Edison, he was a nice practice player, but he really wasn't going to develop into a starter or a backup contributor on the game day activations. Will Sutton, I think we'll see him again in the NFL. He's got to get with the right team. Whether it's a 4-3 defense and he's playing defensive tackle, probably where he was originally drafted for, because I don't know if he necessarily has the size to hold down the point at the nose tackle position, but I always like the effort Will Sutton gave, and he plays with a lot of enthusiasm, so we'll see him again. And then, you know, Lasique, it's kind of the position. You really, if you're not committed to a fullback, you want to be committed to a multi-talented player that can play tight end on the line of scrimmage, can play H-back, can line up at fullback, can contribute significantly on special teams. So, you know, I think the moves that Ryan Pace made were, they were all legitimate moves according to what is going to be your contribution to the team this year.
And Jim, you're going to love this because we're going to go in a Wayback Machine with Mitchell Trubisky, who rolled up into Halas Hall today with that 1997 beat-up beige Toyota Camry that his grandmother gave him, 170,000-plus miles on the baby. We talked with Mitchell Trubisky a couple of weeks ago on Bears All Access, and he was waxing poetic about the car because it's the same car that Ryan Pace saw when they had their secret dinner out in North Carolina before his pro day. And remember, Pace told him at the time, you know, you've got to bring this car up to Halas Hall. Don't ever change. So he didn't. He rolled up to the facility in the thing, and you'll see the highlights of it on all the national TV shows tonight because it is a big deal. Do you remember, Jim, the first time you rolled up to your camp facility back when you were a Steeler? What were you driving back then?
Believe it or not, I had a Renault Alliance stick shift and that I eventually traded out for a Buick. But, I think my signing bonus was like a total of, after taxes, ended up being a little over 14 grand, which I was pretty thankful for. I'm sure Trubisky's is going to be a lot different and he could probably afford a little bit more. But I did put a down payment on when the Ford Explorers just came out. So my bonus was gone really before I even got it. But, you know, all these guys, it starts right now. That's why today we've seen a fury of all the signings going on because the rookie minicamps, many teams, I think there's like 23 teams that are having their rookie minicamps this weekend. That's when the teams actually can get their hands on these guys. They're in the building, and the learning starts right now, and it's going to come at them pretty fast. With what they're going to, you know, what they're going to be expected to do, what they're going to be expected to learn, and how they're expected to be a pro. It all is really going to get started this weekend.
Give me an idea of what that first meeting was like with John Fox, because they all go into the Muggs Halas Auditorium up at Halas Hall. It's the big meeting room. The head coach stands up in the front of the room. What message is the head coach trying to send to the rest of the team? Tom, you went through it. What was Ditka telling the team that first go-around when everyone was kind of filing in?
You know, as professional expectations, he made you realize that nobody was guaranteed a job, whether they are a veteran that's been on the team for a few years or they're a rookie that was a high draft choice. And it was about the work ethic that he expected out of you, about your contributions in a lot of different ways. If you can contribute to a special teams before you ever earn a spot on the roster, then that's going to be your quickest way to get a game day jersey. But I think no matter how many head coaches' eyes you look into, you know, I was intimidated my last year by the meeting with Don Shula as I was my first year in the USFL by George Allen and every head coach in between, because that message they're trying to send is what they expect out of you on a daily basis. It's not something where you can practice hard for a couple days or even give a lot of effort for a couple drills. It's about practicing hard every single day, every drill, and making sure that you concentrate in the meeting rooms. Because if you go out there and you're the strongest guy in the weight room, or you can run the fastest, and you go out there and you repeatedly make mental errors, you're going to get cut because of that. So I just think it's the understanding of how important, when you're inside the building, every single thing you do, from the way you eat, for the way you hydrate yourself, in your preparedness in the weight room, the meeting room, and getting ready to go on the field, every single thing counts.
Now, Jim, if you come from a big school, my guess is that you've been trained to do the kinds of things Tom just talked about, but there are a lot of rookies that were drafted by the Bears this year that are coming from much smaller programs, Division II schools, not the big names that you traditionally hear of. Doesn't mean they can't play, but how much of an adjustment is it just to understand NFL life and the things that are expected of you inside Halas Hall going forward?
Yeah, I think it is definitely a bigger jump, you know, and I'm sure Tom can speak to this, you know, playing at Notre Dame. Like for me, I had a pro coach already when I was at Michigan State. If anybody who doesn't know George Perlis, he was the defensive coordinator through the Pittsburgh Steelers reign through the 70s when they won the 4 Super Bowls. So everything for Michigan State was geared towards the Pittsburgh Steelers. Our uniforms were even replicated after the Pittsburgh Steelers. So how we practice, just the NFL style of calls and how you prepared the conditioning. So I was pretty prepared for all that. But the volume of the playbook is really going to be a big jump for those players at small schools like Cohen and obviously Shaheen, that they're going to have to get adjusted to, and there will be much better athletes than what they competed against at those smaller schools.
We've got to take our first break of the hour. When we come back, I want to find out from a coach's perspective what you're looking to find out over the next 3 days when these players hit the field up at Halas Hall. Rookie minicamp weekend. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Join us 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K Saturday, June 24th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Hi, everyone. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And our guest joining us now on the hotline is one of the new faces, one of the many new faces that the Bears have brought into Halas Hall this offseason. Veteran offensive lineman Tom Compton joins us. And Tom, I guess we'll start off with that. What's it like to be part of this team where there's so many new faces being incorporated into the mix?
Hey, guys. It's good to be on here. You know, it's kind of overwhelming at times, but, you know, it's refreshing that there's other people, you know, going through what I'm going through. You know, I'm not the only new guy on the block, so that definitely helps. But, you know, hopefully when we get OTAs going and get everybody together, you know, we can kind of build together and get a feel of how things are going to go.
You know, Tom, when they introduce you through articles and we are introduced to you as Chicago Bears fans, they say Tom Compton, the swing tackle. And I think it's a heck of a compliment, because I think it's so difficult to play the right side and the left side. But if we're talking about Tom Compton, the starting offensive tackle for the Chicago Bears, do you have a preference to what side you'd want to play as a starter?
Yeah, so I've been a swing tackle for the majority of my career, and I've got opportunities to play on both sides, so it's given me a pretty good comfort level, I'd say, to hit either side. So there's not really one or the other that I kind of favor. Just whichever one, gives me the best chance, to compete and, give something to the team to go out there and play.
Well, for you, Tom, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago. Glad to have you. And when you look at the offenses you played in, whether at the Redskins and the Falcons, and probably there was a lot of carryover as Kyle Shanahan was there in Atlanta last year. I mean, what intrigued you about the Bears' offense and what maybe Dow Loggins going to be called, and how much is it entirely new, or is there a lot of carryover with what you'll be asked to do in Chicago?
Yeah, there is quite a bit of carryover, which is nice. Especially in the run game, I feel like most of it's pretty similar. So that transition hasn't been hard. The protections are a little different, but it's stuff I did about 2 years ago, so I'm still pretty familiar with it. And, it's a big deal, to kind of get a head start on all that. And, Donald, obviously, he was one of the reasons I came here. He's an awesome coach. And he, gave me an opportunity here to compete, and hopefully, I can do something with that and, make it worth coming and show everybody that, this is the right choice.
Bears offensive tackle Tom Compton, one of the new players they brought in this offseason, joining us here on Bears All Access. And you come over, the last team that you played with was the Falcons after spending time with Washington early on in your NFL career. When you look at what transpired last season and the kind of run the Falcons have, was it a difficult decision to leave that situation and come to this one?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was a pretty tough decision. The team down there, the bond that we had was pretty special, and I definitely miss those guys. But I felt like, for me personally, to advance my career, I felt like this was the right choice. And, checking other teams, Chicago definitely felt like a good fit for me. Just the coaches and the players and the offense and all that. So it was definitely hard to, say goodbye to that team. But, I think this is best for my career.
Tom, when we go to the combines after we're getting out of school, I always think that's probably the fastest 40 we'll run throughout our career. I don't know if we'll gain that much speed. But we do have to gain strength throughout our career. Have you been able to invest time in the weight room to, 6'5", 308 pounds? Have you been able to gain strength throughout your NFL career that it, kind of transcends over to the football field?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big part of my training when I got into the league was definitely to get stronger. As a rookie, I could kind of tell I needed to focus on that. And I feel like I've attacked it pretty hard. And, all off season I'll be in the gym, so I don't really take too much time off. And we got a great strength program here. And I can already tell just for the few weeks we've been here that I've gotten a lot stronger just being here.
Well, it's interesting, too, because obviously Coach Callahan there in Washington, and you mentioned the carryover down there to Atlanta. What, if you mentioned the improvements in the weight room and getting stronger, what do you feel, what area on the, on the field, whether it's in practice, footwork, hand placement, wherever, where you feel you've really grown and really have developed your game pretty well?
It's kind of just the smaller technical things, where to have your hands on a certain protection, or how to, cut off a guy on the backside of outside zone. I mean, it's all these kind of little things that you pick up as you go. And, when you first go out there, you're just kind of going off your raw talent, and then you got to kind of hone your craft. So, it's little things that you just kind of pick up as you go. And, definitely I've had some great offensive line coaches and try to take the best from each of them and, kind of show that whole body of work out there.
I'm fascinated by your rise to this level, to go from South Dakota, sixth round pick of the Redskins, and to go through everything that you've gone through in the NFL. There are a lot of draft picks that are beginning their rookie mini camps across the NFL. If you could give them advice, knowing what you know now, after experiencing what you have, what do you think is the biggest thing you would tell them in terms of having success going forward?
That's a good question. I think for the rookies, you know, you're going to be making mistakes. That's kind of a given. Just make them at 100 miles an hour, you know, and don't be afraid to make a mistake. Like, don't get in your head, I guess, because I know I did that quite a bit where I'd be, you know, on the line and I should be focusing on the play and where to put my hands and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking about other things and kind of just working myself up. So just play ball as fast as you can, as hard as you can. And, you know, you'll pick up other things as you go along. So just get that out of the way first.
You know, Tom, every offensive lineman for the Bears last year had a chance to play just due to the amount of injuries. A guy like Cody Whitehair, a little bit of college offensive tackle, played guard in training camp, ended up moving to center a week before the start of the regular season. Have you always been an offensive tackle, or with your athleticism, if you can play right and left tackle, have you ever explored playing on the inside as an offensive guard?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously I'm most comfortable at the tackle position, but, you know, I have been thrown in at guard a few times, especially in, I think, two games. So I know I can do it. It's kind of a different beast. You know, everything kind of happens a lot quicker. So it kind of takes a little time to develop that kind of technique at guard, but I definitely feel like if something came up that I could go in at guard, no problem.
My goodness, shoots you did at Washington Redskins with Bill Callahan. I was at that training camp. My goodness, I've never seen offensive linemen do more shoots than you guys did. Just talk about the coaching you've gotten over the years and, you know, how you feel that's going to benefit you, because getting that base early that you mentioned is always key.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. That was a tough training camp that year for sure. You know, my first offensive line coach I had was Chris Burster, and he's with the Dolphins now. Awesome coach, great guy. You know, he kind of taught me how outside zone works. He's kind of the guru in that, and, you know, I took that stuff to heart and just ran with it, and I think that's what helped me the most. And a couple years later, getting Bill Callahan, he's just a technical genius. You know, he's got all kinds of, like, tools and stuff for you to use. So that helped me a lot in the pass game. And then this past season with Chris Morgan in Atlanta, he was all about, you know, just playing as hard as you can, fast and physical. And, you know, you kind of get all three of those things together. And I think it's, you know, pretty good to have in your tube out there.
All right, let's get to the fun stuff here as we say goodbye to Tom Compton, one of the new Bears offensive linemen. So anyone who follows your teammate Eric Kush on Twitter or follows the Bears on Twitter, you know that one of the big things this offseason, since you guys started working out together, has been these Feed the Bear campaigns that you guys are running every single week. And Kush posted a picture of the menu during these grilling sessions that you guys have had. Like, for example, today, I guess you had beef short ribs, sweet maple brown sugar, bourbon rub, right? Drumsticks. We're talking about linemen now. I mean, this is a lot of food that I've been looking at here on social. What's that like?
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'm definitely a big fan of it. You know, we first started out the first week, it was just O-line, and we had, he cooked a bunch of ribs up, and we just destroyed the tray of ribs, and the quarterbacks popped their heads in and they wanted some too, but they had showed up about 2 minutes too late because we had cleaned house. And so the next week we kind of doubled our order, and then everyone kind of wanted to get, the receivers came over and wanted a couple. And then today we ended up doing the combo of the chicken and the ribs, and we fed the whole offense. So it's just kind of growing every week, and who knows what will come up next, but it's definitely really good food.
Wait, so just so people understand, you guys are doing this at Halas Hall, right? After you guys are done with the workouts, there's a huge grill right outside the facility, and who's grilling?
Yeah, so we got, now we started with one smoker, and now we got two. So when we get there in the morning, Kush will throw the ribs on the smoker, and they kind of just put themselves there. We'll go practice, go to meetings. And by the time meetings are done, they're ready to go. So it's a pretty nice little setup.
Man, I'm telling you, you could turn this into a big training camp thing if you bring this thing down to Bourbonnais this summer.
Yeah, well, I think that's the plan. We got to get this thing built up pretty good.
I love it. Good. Tom, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Good luck this year.
I appreciate it.
There's offensive lineman Tom Compton spending some time with us. A lot to recap and react to when we come back after listening to one of the Bears' new free agents. And I was especially struck by, you know, the difficult decision of going from Atlanta to the Bears and what he talked about in terms of Atlanta being a tight team. And how do you get that kind of camaraderie when you have so many new people that the Bears are trying to incorporate into the mix this year? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. This week on Inside the Bears, go behind the scenes during the Bears' 2017 draft. Spice Adams crashes player photo day at Hallis Hall, and Akeem Hicks reflects on his breakout 2016 season. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Bears official app at any time. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So's former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We just finished talking to new Bears offensive lineman Tom Compton, and he was talking about how part of the camaraderie building process up at Hallis Hall, this has turned into a big thing now where, you know, they got a couple of smokers. They start grilling after workouts once a week, and there's a lot of meat and chicken that they throw out there on the grill. Quarterbacks and receivers now involved. And, you know, Jim, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing as a former quarterback, and Tom, you can attest to this as well. You know, if the linemen are going to do the grilling, the quarterbacks are going to end up paying for the food.
Hopefully we can have split duties. It'll rotate week to week. That's normally how it's done. But I think it's a good thing. As Tom can attest to, if you're around a bunch of good, hardworking guys that get along off the field, I definitely think it helps the morale in the building. I think it helps the morale in the locker room. And I think guys do want to fight for one another just because they generally enjoy being around one another. You know, getting to know your teammates is important. And, you know, hopefully that can lead to, you know, when you do get that, you know, type of atmosphere, it's something I think it can benefit any team out there. So any good team that I've been on have all been teams like that, that just guys were hardworking, wanted to be around one another. We had a lot of fun, but yet we worked hard. We knew what the goal was, but everybody got along and knew what the main goal was, which is to win games. And if you enjoy one another in the process, it makes it all the better.
Yeah, you know, throughout the history of the Bears, the offensive line has always had a tradition of the in-season Thursday night dinners where they all get together, they have a nice meal on Thursday nights, and then it's not a big partying night or anything like that. It's just the camaraderie of the moment of, you know, the final preparation, getting ready for the game. And I know we included Kevin Butler, the kicker. We included McMahon and Tom Zach. Kenny Marjoram came through every once in a while, but it was something that I really look forward to because, you know, when you do go to work in the morning, and everything is about your job. From the minute you get there, you go into the training room, you go through your paces of whether it's getting your ankles taped or getting the preparation from the trainers, then you go into the weight room, then you go into the meetings, then you go to practice, and then after practice, a lot of guys go into the weight rooms, and then all of a sudden, you kind of get a little bit of a downtime, and I think it's really important for these guys to like each other, and I think that's how you work harder, you work smarter, you get more out of yourselves in practice, because when you do have the camaraderie that it's all for one and one for all, it spills over to the rest of the team. So I like the fact that the offensive line has started this, and I'm glad that that's spilling over to the rest of the offense, because I do think there's a lot of players that need to get to know each other, and this is one way to do it. Is you're not always going to sit next to the offensive lineman you're playing next to. You may be sitting next to a wide receiver or, even a defensive player if they want to show up. So I like this idea.
Jim, have you ever been in a situation like that where there have been so many? I mean, you think about all the different players that the Bears have added to the mix this right. offseason. Let's just stick with the offensive side of the ball where Tom Compton is from. You know, you bring in a new starting quarterback. The quarterback of the future gets added to the mix. Even the backup quarterback in Mark Sanchez is new. You got a whole bunch of new receivers and Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, and the draft picks that are on the team now. You add Deion Sims as a tight end. How do you get everybody to mesh together quickly?
No, it's going to take a lot of work. And, you know, much like, you know, I'm sure from this mini camp, the rookie mini camp that they're going to be going through, it's got to start. It's going to go at a rapid pace. Because for all of it to come together quickly with all those new faces and get the offense up and running with a quarterback who's played, but this is all new for him. This is his first year as realistically the starter and the pressures that are going to be on him. And I'd say the same with the receiver position. And we've got other positions defensively. That secondary is going to have a lot of new faces there. So it's got to come together pretty quickly. And if they're putting in the work, they'll be able to do it. But, you know, what are we thinking? Week three, week four, I would think week four is when maybe you'll see a substantial jump in this team because, again, it's hard to get everybody reps because they're going to be rotating those reps. Guys are going to be going in and out, and then finally it'll start to solidify, and then they'll have one last really gelling opportunity as an offense in that third preseason game where it's like, hey, this is what's slated in stone. The competitions are over. Now, really, they need to come together even quicker after that and what's expected.
Hey, Jim, I have a question for you, and I've been talking about this with other Bear alumni. Do you think that the player should, or do you expect these guys to play longer in the preseason games? Because I don't know if you necessarily have the luxury of Mike Glennon coming in and playing nine snaps the first game of the year, or even the offensive lineman development, some of the guys that have been injured. Do you have an expectation that these guys should probably be getting more reps in the first and second preseason game and the length of time they'll play in the third? Or are you going to be okay if you have these guys that have been around for such a short period of time to only go into the game for the six or nine plays that they're accustomed to?
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think they will be in there a lot longer in order to get that gelling process going in terms of their assignments and everything like that. And I think we've seen, not just with the Bears, because the Bears have done it too, but look at all the teams that are now incorporating, like when they play their preseason game, where they go to that facility and they're practicing all week. It's a joint practice venture that I think it really gets a lot of work done for both teams. And I think more teams in the NFL are taking that opportunity to do that because it's putting a lot of new free agents, a lot of the young draft picks in situations against different looks, and I think it maximizes your ability to practice and evaluate. And so, you know, but I agree with that wholeheartedly, Tom, that those guys will play a lot longer for the new guys like Glennon and the players that they've added.
Give me an idea first, though. Let's start with this weekend because this is the first time that the coaches have a chance to work with these draft picks and these rookies on the field. What are they looking for? Because you're not really hitting. So what are you looking to see if you're a coach?
You know, Zach, you're not playing an 11-on-11 football because you just don't have that amount of bodies. But there's little specific things you have to look at. You know, how does an offensive lineman get in and out of his stance? How does he understand the information that you're feeding him? How does he run downfield to the first level? How does he run downfield to the second level? How well does he move if he's pulling left or right? And then the receivers, how crisp are they on their routes? How much balance do they have when they're coming in and out of their breaks? And then, you know, even the running backs, how do they hit the hole? Where does their burst of speed come? If they're going to try to give them a simulation of how to read where a hole is going to develop, how quickly do they read it, and how does their body momentum take them upfield? And I think Jim can speak more about what they're looking for specifically out of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think for all positions, how well do they retain information? How quickly can they apply it? Maybe 15 minutes after leaving a meeting room when it was all displayed to them. How do they react after a bad play? You know, are they upbeat? Are they down on themselves? How do they perform when things don't go right? So I think these evaluations start now, because it's one thing to interview Mitchell Trubisky and everybody and his coach down there at North Carolina. Oh, yeah, this guy retains information. He's like a computer. You know, that's one thing saying it, but the ability to evaluate it and witness it yourself. How does he learn? Does he learn on the chalkboard? Does he learn by watching the tape? Does he learn by the coaches just handing him a playbook or their iPad or however they're doing that now? You know, I think all those things you're able to evaluate about these players.
You know, too, Zach, as you talk about some of the draft choices coming from the different divisions other than Division One, these guys could have been so dominant, they may have never been criticized in front of their peers. And I think that's going to be one of the tests for all of these guys, is that when they do get yelled at in front of everybody, how do they absorb that? Do they understand that the reason the coaches are yelling at them is because they're coaching them and they're trying to get the best out of them? And Dick Stanfield, our offensive line coach, used to say, is, look, if I'm yelling at you, I care about you. Once I stop yelling at you, that's when you have to start worrying. So if you have these guys that are so good at the division they come from, maybe they've never heard criticism, and that's an important part of making sure that you're willing to accept criticism in front of your peers, both in the meetings when you're watching tape and then out on the practice field in front of everybody.
Well, Jim played for George Perlis at Michigan State, so I imagine he got yelled at early on in his college career.
Oh,
but, but Tom, coming from Notre Dame, do you remember the first time as a professional that you had to face the music, so to speak, and you did get yelled at in front of the whole group?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know it on every single level. And once you leave high school, you are no longer the best player on your football team. Everybody else is elevated in their competitiveness or the guys that you practice against. So, you know, my first offensive line coach at Notre Dame was a guy named Bill Myers, and he never hid anything from you. And, I mean, he put it right out there, and it was something that you had to learn to be better because of the way he yelled at you or criticized you or was coaching you. And no matter where you go, whatever level that you're going to play on, that's one thing that you got to be able to absorb and learn from it as much as, you know, listen, the guy next to you is going to get yelled at too, and you're all in it together, and that's one of the great things about playing on a team sport like football.
I think the thing that really strikes me is when this weekend is completed and these guys now get incorporated into the mix with the veteran players, you guys have been on both sides of it. Do you know, does a veteran player know right away if you can trust a guy, one of these young guys that's being added to the mix? Can you tell right from that first practice that everyone's together whether or not good things are going to happen going forward?
You know, everything takes a little time, because the more complicated it gets, the more confusing some young guys can be. So I don't think you know anything until you really start letting things fly full speed, and then, you know, hundreds of bodies moving around in front of your face.
Putting the pads on removes all doubt. Right,
yes,
Tom?
Yes.
Then you know.
So the real answers will start to come when Bourbon A rolls around. Let's take a break. We'll come back. A lot more to discuss with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. There's tremendous photographs of John Fox talking to the rookies who are at Halas Hall for the first time today. There's also that picture of Mitchell Trubisky rolling in with that 1997 Toyota Camry. So there's a lot of good stuff that you can find across all the social media aspects that the Bears put out there. I do want to hit this because I think it's really important. Tom Thayer and Jim Miller is with us. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I'm Zach Zaidman. Because one of the things that you see on the Bears website, they have all these different photographs, including the Bears locker room. And if you're a rookie, even if you're a guy that was picked number two overall like Mitchell Trubisky, and Tom, can you explain this? Rookies are not allowed in the main locker room at Halas Hall just yet.
No, you got to earn your way up there. It's the same thing at the old Halas Hall when they didn't have enough locker space. The rookies were crammed in the basement, and they had like one or two showers for them to use. And then it's like a reward. After training camp is over and then you start the regular season, then your locker is elevated to upstairs in the main locker room. And it's a big accomplishment. And I do like to see them dangle that carrot out in front of these rookies to understand that, listen, you know, we're going to provide you with every service inside the facility that you possibly need to be successful. But once you get into the locker room that houses the official roster that's going to begin the regular season, you've earned your chance to go up there. And I think that's kind of been similar since I was a freshman at Notre Dame. We didn't dress in the locker room of the veterans, and you earned your locker room inside there. And that's the way it's been, you know, professionally done. And I don't think it's a slight to anybody. It's just the process of, you know, like I said, earning your stripes to join that team.
Was it like that in Pittsburgh when you broke in, Jim?
Yeah, well, it was a big deal. It was important to me because, you know, you got Greg Lloyd, Rod Woodson. You know, they had some really great players, Hall of Famers like Dermoni Dawson. And, you know, I just know from my standpoint, I wanted them to show them to accept me, that I will work hard and they would see how hard I work. And so, and you have to earn it. And, you know, once when you see they're joking around and stuff, you say, all right, I belong here. They're accepting me, you know, that acknowledgement. But that means that they respected what you've done to prove yourself. You know, there was never, you know, other rookies had to get up, you know, obviously sing the fight song. And I never even had to do that because I had a really good training camp my rookie year. And I think everybody was like, yeah, this guy may have the ability to play. And then, unfortunately, I ended up breaking my thumb. But I played well in all the preseason games and played well in the scrimmages that we had. And I was thrown in there with the ones. So it allowed me getting in there with the first team to work with them, and how I performed, it gave me a quicker avenue to acceptance is really my take on it. So I was very fortunate to be around some very good pros that accepted me pretty early.
You know, Jim, you bring up a good point there because you mentioned that, you know, situations kind of forced you to work with the ones early on. Do you think that Mitchell Trubisky this offseason will get an opportunity at any point to work with the ones? Because you're still trying to make sure that Mike Glennon is set to work with the starters. But, you know, Trubisky's being trained for the future too, and the best way to do that is to work with the top team, right?
Yeah, and he'll have those opportunities. As Tom knows, at training camp, you know, the inside run period is normally split up between the quarterbacks. So one day it'll be Mike Glennon down there, and then halfway through it they'll send Trubisky down there. The next day maybe Trubisky will be the first group offensive line through the inside run period. So he'll have those opportunities. He'll be working with the ones, wide receivers, at times in the 7-on-7 drills. So he will get those opportunities, and you've got to make the most of them. He has to prove to the coaches that I understand what's going on here. And the more you do that, the more opportunities you're going to get.
You know, Zach, I think every position is kind of unique in that aspect, that in training camp, they get these little indicators. Without a moment's notice, you may be inserted into a lineup that you haven't been in before. I remember when Charles Leno Jr. first became a Chicago Bear, and they were continuously trying him on the right side. And they didn't exactly like what they saw. And then finally they said, okay, we're going to give you an opportunity to play left tackle. And then he started to flourish. It looked like he was better situated to play left tackle than he was right tackle, and that's really unusual for offensive linemen. And, you know, in the offensive line process, they put these guys all up and down the line of scrimmage, and we saw last year with Eric Cush, with Ted Larson, with Cody Whitehair, and that whole crew of guys that they're trying to figure out give us an indicator of how well that you can factor in the game day roster, or how well can you switch positions, and what is your versatility status, and whether you're a quarterback going from first team to third team or vice versa, or if you're a wide receiver playing all three of the wide receiver positions, if you're a tight end that goes from online to H-back to a fullback position. Every one of those things is just a trial to see, do you fit on this roster? Are you going to earn your stripes? And are you going to earn a spot in the NFL?
When we come back, I want to hear from you guys. Now that Dowell Loggins, now that we know who he's got offensively, the pieces to work with, how do you anticipate this offense unfolding? What's it going to look like? Is there a blueprint somewhere else that you can look at and say, the Bears are going to try to be this? We'll ask Jim Miller and Tom Thayer next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabeman. The Bears announcing that they've signed 13 undrafted free agents. You can get the full list on ChicagoBears.com as well as the Bears Twitter account, Facebook, the whole works. So I think one of the more interesting things heading into this entire offseason, guys, is the fact that there are all these new names that are getting added to the mix. Some veteran players at tight end and receiver and the offensive line and quarterback. And yet you have some young players as well at tight end, running back, quarterback, and the receiver position. Dowell Loggins now knows who he has to work with. What do you think he's trying to create from an offensive standpoint? Is it going to be straight West Coast? When you look at another team, Jim, around the NFL, what do you think he's trying to emulate to make work with the Bears?
Well, I've said this repeatedly. They're a hybrid offense, okay? They're mixed. Dowell carried over a lot of stuff Adam Gase did. Adam Gase was out in Denver with Josh McDaniels of the New England Patriots, so that's part of the Patriot influence that is in the Bears offense, and it's a West Coast offense. So it's a mixture of both. We call them a hybrid, and a lot of teams do it in the NFL. They just incorporate a lot of other things that other teams do, and they combine them. But I think we know their identity is running the football. With what, how much can they build this out and just wear down other teams? Like probably the most impressive game to me of the Chicago Bears last year was the game against the Minnesota Vikings. That's a pretty good defense. Granted, they were missing Sharif Floyd, their defensive tackles, but the Bears wore that team out. They wore that good defense out by just their physical style of play, how they stuck to the game plan and just grinded and wore down their opponent. And you want to have the ability to do that, because if you can demoralize your opponent that way, that's the quickest way, in my opinion, to get a victory where they just feel that they have got no shot with what you're doing. And you just keep on coming and coming and coming, and they know it's coming again, and they can't do anything about it. So I do think offensively they're a run play-action team. Defensively, I still got to see how the secondary's going to shake itself out, but I think they'll be able to put and provide more pressure and have the ability to stop the run. Key is turnovers on defense, and will they be able to get off the field on third down? If they can do those things and not turn the ball over on offense, I believe John Fox's quote was a couple weeks ago, well, we're closer than what people think, and he's right. They are, but we'll have to see how it comes together in training camp to see if those areas that I mentioned start to emerge.
Tom, you know, Zach, I think they'll have consistency with the game planning if they keep consistent at the quarterback position. If you look at what Dowell Loggins had to go through last year in trying to get a quarterback ready with a week's notification.
Yeah, great
now,
point.
If you can have the same quarterback that sit there and starts every game, then you have consistency in the game plan. But if you're trying to develop a quarterback week in and week out, just think how much you have to cut back on the game plan because the quarterback isn't familiar with enough information. So it is about that quarterback room. If Mike Glennon and that group, if they stay healthy and he gets a chance to start 16 games, then you're going to be able to build what Jordan Howard can do and how Jeremy Langford can help him. How does Zach Miller and Deion Sims work together at a talented, you know, versatile tight end position? How can the wide receivers contribute, especially if you have a healthy Kevin White? So I do think it does go through Jordan Howard, but man, if you can keep those quarterbacks healthy, that's going to be the key to Dowell Loggins this season.
You know, Pro Football Focus put this out earlier today, and the Chicago Bears retweeted it on their Twitter account. No running back gained more yardage between the tackles last year than Jordan Howard. How did they do that successfully? Because there was a lot of injury that they had to overcome on the interior of that line.
Well, You know, first of all, Jordan Howard has a great innate ability to know how the play is going to unfold, so he can get to that second level and that third level in the tackle challenging. You know, that's where the tackle challenging becomes in Jordan Howard's favor. I think the offensive line did a nice job of going from first level to second level to give him that opportunity, but I do think it's the great instincts of Jordan Howard and the ability for the offensive line to work at the line of scrimmage, because, you know, whenever you have quarterback changes, that's also a challenge of the offensive line. You have inconsistencies in the rhythm of the snap count. You don't know exactly how they're going to see the field, and then your opponent is going to be able to load up the line of scrimmage to, you know, just try to stop Jordan Howard exclusively. So, you know, when you put all the pieces in place, and if they are healthy, you're going to have a chance for the offense and Jordan Howard to even improve more from what he did last year.
Jim, I know that Ryan Pace and John Fox have both said Mike Glennon, the quarterback for 2017, but can you put yourself in Glennon's situation and the pressure to be perfect, knowing that, you know, you've got the star draft pick behind you? And I know Mark Sanchez is on the team right now as well as Connor Shaw, but are you going to be allowed to make mistakes if you're Glennon? And there's going to be a lot of pressure, isn't there, if things don't go well, especially if the rookie has a successful offseason?
Well, the pressure is always there every single week. But Glennon's got to be fired up. He is getting an opportunity that it wasn't going to emerge there in Tampa. You know, he's kind of buried behind Jameis Winston after he got on the field and did some good things. So if I'm Mike Glennon, yeah, I'm. If I were him, I'd get in that playbook every single day to give himself the best opportunity to succeed. I think he's light years ahead of those other quarterbacks, especially Trubisky, but anything can happen. I think we saw last year how Carson Wentz went in, and Philadelphia felt, hey, man, this guy's picked up the offense. We feel good about him and where he's at and why they elected to start him. So Trubisky can determine by his learning and his work ethic how quickly he will have the opportunity to get on the field. But if Glennon's playing so well, which he should, in my opinion, you know, he can keep the young kid at bay, and when he is finally ready, that's when he'll have the opportunity to play. But I think it's not going to be a short leash for Mike Glennon. He'd have to seriously play poorly in situational play for him to get yanked and lose that job when he's already been named the starter.
Tom, in 20 seconds, before we say goodbye here, what would be your advice to all these rookies at Halas Hall when they're not in the facility going forward this offseason?
Live on your tablet. Make sure, again, I always say, you can't. If you come back to the line, come back to the sideline and say, I thought, you're beat. So you can't ever think on the field. You have to know every one of your responsibilities.
Yeah, basically this offseason is graduate school for all these guys coming out of whatever university they came out of to try and compete at the NFL level. Jim, Tom, thank you so much. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.